You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And good morning. Do we have any announcements this morning? Okay. There are no announcements to go with the Bible reading, scripture reading for today. 1 Peter 3:15-22. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism, doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. And Father God, we just want to pray for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, for his sake. Amen.
Well, Derek asked me to teach today because he's out of town, and Clark said he would be out of town, so if Kathy would take his class, so we have quite a few absent, but I believe the lesson today will hopefully be a blessing. So let's open up with prayer and we'll get started. Father, we pause now to study your word, to come together in a fellowship here at this church to celebrate your word being taught rightly divided. We appreciate the fact that you've given us the scriptures and we're encouraged to study to be approved in your eyes. And that approval comes from being a workman who is not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we thank you for the calling we have, the hope we have in the one body. And we thank you for that position that Christ has done and sits in the heavenlies, far above all principalities and powers. And we're sitting there right there with him. So we thank you for the forgiveness of our sins, for the inheritance you provided, for the blessings in Christ, and for all that you do here for us on earth, but most importantly, in the heavenlies far above. So right now, we pray for this lesson to give glory to your Son, Christ Jesus, to build us up in a faith that's most holy and approved in your sight. For us in Christ's name and for our sake. Amen. Well, you might guess from the handout, the lesson today is called Be Ready, Be Specific. Now, originally, I thought be ready was what I wanted to touch on, but there's a certain news story this week where I saw a report on TV about a couple of parents getting together and mourning their sons who had been killed completely separate. The first was that boy who was shot accidentally by that police officer who was trying to shoot in the birdhouse a snake, and the ricochet went and hit this kid in the head. He had died from it. It really was tragic. The other one was a kid out running, getting in shape for football practice, and he was running a certain path, and he was backed over by a pickup truck, and he was killed. And apparently the driver was not a U.S. citizen, and the truck had a whole bunch of security violations and this, that, and the other. And I saw the news report where the first family, the parents of Austin, let's see, his name was, his first name was Austin, who had read about this second family and went to them, and they both prayed together. And the news report was covering the fact that the families were spiritual and they were gathering strength from being spiritual, and they thanked God for their children and shared the grief together. And, you know, I thought that report really was encouraging because here two families didn't know each other, came together in Christ, in sharing grief together and relying on the Word of God to build each other up. Well, that's what I thought in my mind. The news report didn't say anything like that. As a matter of fact, the news report, all it said was their faith in God pulled them through, and you know they were, you know, comforting each other. And it didn't say anything why they were comforting each other, why they were overcoming their grief. You know, they were interviewed, and what they said on TV was, you know, they thank God for getting them through it. But they missed an opportunity. You know, they certainly didn't plan on being interviewed on TV probably the week before, because they didn't plan on losing their child the week before. But in an instant, their children were taken away by an accident. And they were thrust into a situation where they had to rely on their faith. And the TV report said, you know, faith in God. Now, when you hear faith in God, what you hear is faith in Christ Jesus. What others might hear is faith in Buddha, or faith in Allah, or faith in whatever God they worship. So somehow, some way, the media has made it okay to say the words like faith, hope, God. But what specifically do you have faith in? What specifically do you have hope in? And who is your God? When we're put in a situation where we're able to share what our hope is, we better be specific. We need to take the opportunity to really say, I praise my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So specifically, say His name. He is God, and the fact that He conquered death and rose again, I have hope in a resurrection that Christ Jesus provides for me when I believe on His name. So I believe my children will be resurrected in that day, and I'll see them in the heavenlies with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, wouldn't that be a testimony? And I don't see how the TV station can run that story, because it would be so offensive to the world. But is that what we're supposed to be? Let's go to the scripture reading in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man to ask you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. What is the hope that is in us? You drop down to verse 21, verse 20, 1 Peter 3:22. Jesus Christ, back up to verse 21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of good conscience toward God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities, powers being made subject unto Him. You know, hope in the resurrection is a blessed thing. Now, when you go into Scripture, you find lots of passages about people taking a stand, and when they're asked, being specific in their answer. Now, specificity, that's a fancy word, I had to practice that this morning. Specificity, that's probably wrong, is being able to answer on the spot. Being able to say, well, I believe in God, and, you know, hallelujah. Well, that's safe. Well, if you go to Acts chapter 6, verse 7, you'll see Stephen, who was basically asked a question Acts chapter 6, verse 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among them. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Now today, we're not by miracle given this wisdom. We're given the completed Word of God. So when we have the Word of God hidden in our heart, we're able to recall it and share it with people in certain situations. Now, I believe me, and probably you as well, have been in places where your Bible isn't with you. And sure enough, an opportunity comes up. And you said, well, I wish I had my Bible. You know, I have a note in there, and I remember this side of the page. And if I just had that, I'd feel comfortable sharing something out of Scripture with a person that you're having an opportunity with. And you tend to back off and be, you know, ginger and keep things generic and things like that. But what we have here is a call to be specific. So you need to have that Word of God hidden in your heart that you might be able to call upon it when you're in a situation. And you, like Peter says, you're always able to give an answer to every man to ask you. Now, the problem is, you usually don't like to wait for them to ask you. You go ahead and volunteer that information. In a way, you tend to want to force it down the throat. But you're not supposed to. You're supposed to wait until they ask you, and then you give them full guns. Now, when they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake, Acts 6, verse 11, then they suborned men and said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. And set up false witnesses which said, this man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against the holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face that it had been the face of an angel. Then the high priest said, are these things so? Now, Peter wrote and said, Stephen, be prepared to give an answer always to every man and the reason of hope as within you. Now, last week, Derek covered part two of the hope of the church of the one body. And he basically did a great job going over the one blessing given to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Basically, he covered the hope of Israel that was here on the earth. Predominantly, their seed would be as the sand or stars of heaven, and they would receive a blessing of the land. So he went back and covered the scriptures that showed the blessing associated with Abraham. Now, here in Acts chapter 7, starting at verse 2, we'll see Stephen's answer to this high priest. Now, when, he asked Stephen, was this so? What were you saying? What were you report? What was your testimony? Now, Stephen certainly could be, well, I was here praising God. Faith and hope. No, what Stephen did is he laid it out. He was specific with his answer. And he went in and completely took them back and brought them up to the current and said, guys, you goofed up. Now, was that a popular way to go? If you drop down to Acts chapter 7, verse 57. Now, I encourage you to read all of chapter 7 because it's a great history lesson of the background of Israel and the fact that they brought them up to this point in time. And in verse 51, we'll back up there, he said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in your hearts and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have you not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed forth the coming of the Just One, of whom you have now been now betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by this disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus beholding the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord." And do you think they were giving him high fives? "And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he did this, he fell asleep." Acts chapter 8, verse 1, "And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at the time there was great prosecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." Saul was a chief persecutor of Christians, and Stephen was asked a question, and he was specific in his response, and his specificity got him stoned. But even he said, "Lord, lay not this sin upon their charge." Now it's funny, in Acts chapter 9, verse 1, you see Saul here, "Yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed to Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven." So here Saul went and got approval from the high priest to go to Damascus and find out if any other Christians like Stephen were making noise, whether they be men or women, won't he have the authority to bind them and bring them back and basically treat them the same way they treated Stephen? Well, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, had a little surprise for Saul on the road to Damascus. As he journeyed there was a light shined around about him in verse 4, "And he fell to earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who out there, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me do?" Now, can you imagine? Paul, or Saul, was on fire for God, going out and killing Christians because they were against the law, against Moses, against everything that they had been taught historically with their legalism. And here Christ appeared unto him and said, "Man, you're rubbing me the wrong way. What would you have me do, Lord? I thought I was doing the right thing." In verse 7, Acts 9, 7, And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither to eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Behold, I am here, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, and he might receive sight." Ananias said, "Man, that's great. I can't wait to do that." Now, you remember, Saul had a reputation among Christians. And his reputation was not very good because he was a terror to Christians. So Ananias said, "I have heard many of this man, how much evil he hath done by the saints in Jerusalem. And he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name." And the Lord said, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." Now, what's funny about that passage in verse 15 is he says he's supposed to go unto the Gentiles and the kings and unto the children of Israel. But in reality, Paul's ministry was first to the Jews, second to the kings, and lastly to the Gentiles, in that order. "For I show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." So Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hand unto him, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, appeared unto thee in the way that thou commandest, hast sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately fell from his eyes, had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. When he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which are at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, for he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed, and said, Is not this that destroyed them that were calling this name in Jerusalem, and come hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased in the more in strength, and he confounded the Jews which dwelt in Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were filled, the Jews took counsel to kill him." So Saul's specificity got people fired up enough to, verse 23, they took counsel to kill him. So he became offensive by being specific. Now, if you jump to Acts 17, verse 1, you have passed in time in the book of Acts, and now you have Paul. Verse 2, "And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath day reasoned them out of the Scriptures." Well, where he went was in verse 1. "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia and came to Thessalonica, there was a synagogue of the Jews. And there he," in verse 3, "opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and about this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed, and exhorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved within me, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set out all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren and the rulers of the city, crying, that they have turned the world upside down, and have come here also. Whom Jason had received, these also do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken the security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night to Berea, who coming hither went into the synagogue of the Jews. There were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of women which were of Greece, of men not a few. But the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge of the word of God, which preached of Paul in Berea. They came here also to stir up the people. And immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they conducted, Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a companion unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, and they departed. Now Paul waited for them in Athens. His spirit was stirred with him, and he saw the city wholly given over to idolatry. So here's Paul waiting And he looked at the city, and all the people were given over to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogues with the Jews and the devout persons in the market daily, and with them that met with him. And certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, some he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Remember, we talked about, you know, that hope the family should have. You know, it should be hope in Jesus and the resurrection. That would bring them hope in the fact that they lost their children. Well, verse 19, "And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, and saying, May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears, and we would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were in there spent their time in nothing else but either to hear, to tell, or to hear some new thing." Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, now, Paul is going to be specific. He's not going to be, you know, thank God. He's going to have certain specificity. "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious or religious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar in the inscription to the unknown God. Him whom you therefore ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. He hath made one blood of all nations of men to dwell on the earth, face of the earth, and determined the times afore appointed and bounds of their habitation. For they should seek the Lord, if they happily might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, and certain also of your own poets have said, for you are also his offspring. Forasmuch then as we are the offspring of God, we ought to have to think of the Godhead as like of gold and silver or stone or graven art by man's device. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he had ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, We will hear again of this matter. So Paul departed among them. Howbeit certain men claimed to him to leave, and some the witch of Dionysus the Areopagite, and a woman named Darius, and others with him. So here Paul was basically saying, you worship an unknown God. Let me tell you about this unknown God. He got to the point where he said he sent Jesus, who he died on the cross for our sins and was raised. And the fact that they didn't care about, they had to repent their sins. They didn't really recognize that they were sinners. And when they got to the resurrection, these Stoics and mystics and people were fascinated more about the concept of the resurrection instead of the message. So there was a case where specificity didn't work because they were too caught up in learning about something or other and not really about what the fact of the matter was they needed a Savior. And God sent the Savior of mankind, and he raised him from the dead to set in the heavenlies far above. And if you receive him, you have eternal life in Christ. Well, when you're specific, I thought about Hebrews 4:12. Because being specific is not rendering your opinion, it's sharing the Word of God. And when you share the Word of God, you tend to get specific, and a lot of times it hurts. Hebrews 4:12 says, For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and is discerner in thoughts and intents of the heart. Another example of being specific, in Acts chapter 26, verse 1, you have Paul in front of King Agrippa, and he said, "Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa. I shall answer for myself this day before the touching all things where I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews, whereof I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was the first among thine own salvation at Jerusalem, known all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they be testify that after the most strictest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and judge for the hope of my promise made to God and our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. Which hopes say, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise from the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. When they were put to death, I gave my voice against them." So he's telling King Agrippa, "Man, I had the authority to be a terror to Christians, and the chief priests were behind me, and I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. Being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests. At midday, O king, I saw a way in the light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining around about me, and them which journey with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? They said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I appeared for thee for a purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which is seen, of these things which I will appear unto thee. Deliver thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee." Now, if you recall, when he was converted, he said he would be a witness to Gentiles, to kings, and to Jews. Well, he had been to the Jews, now he's in front of kings, and at the end of Acts 28:28, he will be strictly given the commission to go unto Gentiles. Well, he continues his testimony in front of King Agrippa. And you see verse 27. "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." Then King Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And Paul said, "I would to God that not only thou, but also that all that hear me this day were both and almost and together as much as I am, except these bonds." And we had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor and Bernice, and all and they that sat with him. And when they were gone aside, they talked unto themselves, "This man doth nothing worthy of death nor bonds." Then said King Agrippa unto Festus, "This man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar." Then you go to Acts 28, verse 17. "And it came to pass, after 3 days, Paul called to the chief priests of the Jews together, and when they were come together, and said among them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or custom of our fathers, yet I was delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had ought to accuse my nation thereof. For this cause, therefore, I have called on you to see you and to speak to you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said to him, We neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for us concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they appointed him a day, there came to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them out concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Some believe these things were spoken, some believe not. When they had agreed not among themselves, they departed, after Paul had spoken one word, well spoke the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet, who, our fathers, saying, "Go unto the people and say, Hearing ye shall hear, and shall understand, seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should seal them. Be it known, therefore, that unto you that salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it." That word "sent" is special because it really, in the Greek, means authorized. For the first time, the Gentiles are authorized to receive salvation apart from Israel. In the Old Testament, they had to be a proselyte. They had to be saved through adopting the Jewish faith. In the New Testament, through the book of Acts, they had to be with faithful Abraham, like a olive tree grafted in. But here, the authority was given to the Gentiles apart from Israel. During Acts, the Gentiles were blessed with faithful Abraham. Their position really was that as a grafted wild olive tree. But in Ephesians, which is the first book written after this Acts, you see Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. "Wherefore remember, you being in the times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision, in the flesh made by hands. For at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off are made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and broke down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make himself of two one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them that were nigher. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." It has been revealed to the prophets in the Old Testament that Gentiles should be blessed with faithful Abraham. But here, in Ephesians, we see that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise. So, if you see Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "For this Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." Verse 5, "Which in other ages were not made known to the sons of men, as is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." Verse 6, "That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs in the same body, and partakers of his promise in the gospel." Verse 8, "Unto me, who am in the less and the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been given God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, you see in your handout a little graphic that shows you the difference between the three spheres of blessings. The first, it's all built certainly on the redemptive, precious blood of Christ. But Abraham was promised the earth, And he also was promised a heavenly city, New Jerusalem, would come down out of the heaven and be set here on earth. But our blessing, our hope, the church of the one body, is in the heavenlies, far above all principalities and powers, and separate from the earth and the heaven. We have our hope in the heavenlies with Christ. So, we're at a time. The time flies when you're having fun, right? Be ready, be specific. And in order to be specific, you need to have the Word of God hidden in your heart that you can call upon it. And the way to do that is to study, to be approved unto God, to read the Word daily, get into it, study it, memorize it. You know, I'll go back to that article about that little boy. Let me read a little part to you here. Austin 5, who was shot and killed by a stray bullet Friday when Noble police officers who were responding to a call about a snake in a birdhouse shot the animal. The Noble community gathered for Austin's funeral Wednesday morning. More than 650 people attending the two-hour service at the Noble Assembly of God. Several family members, including his father, Jack, spoke at the service, remembering Austin's sweet spirit and the love of God from an early age. Monday evening, after returning from the funeral home, Jack Hitty said his wife was cold. She went to get a blanket. The one she picked up was one the family hadn't seen in years. On it was Austin's favorite Bible verse, Jeremiah 17:7. Jeremiah 17:7 says, "Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." On the back was a poem entitled, "Dad." The dad said, "I knew right then that it was a message." He said, "It just was a little thing, you know, but Austin loved little things. They meant a lot to him." His final wish. Children's pastor, Dean Guthrie, said Austin was giving and smart and always memorizing his Bible verse for the week. When he went to pick out his piece of candy for getting the verse right, he always wanted to get a piece for his brother, too. What a blessing that story was, because here the kid was memorizing scripture to get a piece of candy. So, I'm sure he's in the heavenlies right now with the Lord Jesus Christ. So, be ready, be specific, and tell people about Christ and His resurrection and the fact that we have a calling in Him and we sit with Him in the heavenlies far above. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank You for Your Word, for the fact that we get to be specific, and the fact that we don't necessarily need to share our opinion, but share the Scripture. And we should have that Scripture in our heart so we can share it with others. And the fact that we know that times that Scripture will be sharp and like a two-edged sword, and it will cause a reaction that may not be friendly or positive, but we should stand in the fact that we're just to share Your Word and share the fact of who You are and what You've given to us, and the fact that Christ Jesus came for our sins and died and was rose again, and the fact that we can have our position in Christ in the heavenlies far above, and it's such a great calling, Lord. So we thank You for the Scriptures. We thank You for Your Son, Christ Jesus, for it's in His name we pray and for His sake. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.